Okay, so let's begin. So we're studying the sixth parak of Maseches Brachos. That's the goal. And we're going to start with Birchas Ananin, which is really the main topic of the parak. And we're not going to spend too much time going through the Gemaras, but we'll just give a little bit of a background to what we're going to talk about. And the main question I want to discuss today is, everybody here is basically eating, or just ate, or are going to eat at some point today. And the question becomes, that bracha that you make before you eat, is that a bracha that we are obligated to make on a Torah level? Is it a doraisa? Or is the bracha that we call Birchas Ananin that we make before brachos just something that the rabbis understood, like maybe Hashem wants us to do it, but it's not necessarily something that is a doraisa, it's more of a derabanan. Student in everybody here should say, well, who cares? Why should it matter whether the brachos that we make before we eat food are doraisa or derabanan? Any thoughts? Nafkaminas?
Women.
What I learned is that, well, I don't know, I'm jumping.
We're not talking about benching. We're talking about...
Okay, fine.
We're talking about Birkas HaMazon. We know it has a pasuk in the Torah. Pachalta v'savato v'irachta. That's clear that that's a doraisa. There is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that says you must make a bracha before you consume food. Even what, by the way, al mechia, bracha me'en shalosh, is the machlokas we've shown him already. We'll see in a moment whether or not that's in the Torah or not. So making a bracha before you eat, the main nafkamina is going to be sveikos. Very good. Is that what you're going to say? Savik bracha. I just had a wafer, okay, and I'm not sure whether I made a bracha over the wafer or not. So if it's doraisa, if brachos are doraisa, then you got to go back and make a bracha, presumably. If brachos are derabanan, you don't have to go back and make a bracha. Savik brachos lahakel. Savik derabanan lahakel, in this case. Well, we don't know whether it's derabanan or doraisa, but that's the question, right? Now, you get into a different issue, which is sveikos. We're not going to get into it today. Maybe we'll do it in a future discussion, which is the question of you're saying Hashem's name. So if we say that brachos are doraisa, or maybe we're not sure, and you're saying another bracha, you're saying Hashem's name again, that's getting into the question of what we call bracha levatala. Not today's topic, but it is a side thing to kind of keep on the back burner. So let's jump in. So the Mishnah here, the beginning of Sixth Barak, is Ketzim Avarchin El Peros, and it goes through all the brachos that we know, fruits of the tree, everything basically except for wine is going to be Ha'etz, Chutz Min HaYayin. Yayin has something else. It's more chashuv, it's more elevated of a food, so it has its own special bracha, and the same thing with Peros Ha'aretz. Everything is Adama except for bread, which has its own kind of category of halacha, and that's Hamotzi Lachem Min HaAretz. And then the last thing the Mishnah says is about yirakos, vegetables, borei pri adama, and Rabbi Huda Omer borei minei medishaim, because he has a further categorization of vegetation, different types of vegetation that go from the ground. Okay, side comment, that's the basics of the Mishnah. So the Gemara wants to know, very similar to how the Gemara does in other places, before you tell me that I'm supposed to be doing something, first show me where it's written in the Torah that I'm supposed to do this. So some examples that come to mind are the beginning of Maseches Brachos, right? When am I supposed to say Shema at nighttime? So that's how the first Mishnah begins in Brachos. And then it gives a whole list of different opinions, the latest time to say Shema, the earliest time to say Shema. And then the first question of the Gemara says, before you even get on to the discussion of when to say Shema, when not to say Shema, first show me in the Torah that I'm supposed to say Shema, that I'm obligated to say Shema. Right, the Gemara has this in a number of different places. The Mishnah will tell us the halacha, and then the Gemara will say menahani mili, which is the first line here in the Gemara. So the Gemara says menahani mili. Where do I know that I'm even supposed to make a bracha before I eat? So what the Gemara does is it goes through a series of psukim. The first pasuk is quoted by Rabbi Akiva. He quotes a pasuk called from the context of the pasuk is in the fourth year of a fruit that grows in Eretz Yisrael. The first 3 years, you're not allowed to benefit from the tree. That's called Orla. Orla is a halacha that only applies to agriculture in Israel. So if you're growing a fruit tree, a lemon tree, an orange tree, whatever you're growing in your backyard, you're not allowed to benefit from that tree for the first 3 years. Simple reason is you have to appreciate where things come from. It comes from Hashem. So we spend a few years realizing that everything comes from Hashem. And then in the fourth year, you're allowed to benefit from the fruits. But there's a special halacha of that fruit from the fourth year. What's the halacha? You can benefit from it, but you have to benefit from it in Yerushalayim. Capital of Israel. Capital of Jewish people. So says the President of the United States. So the halacha is, that's called Rivi'i. That's the name that the halacha gives to these special fruits, the fourth year. You can eat them, you have to eat them in Yerushalayim. It's a special significance of this. Now, in the context of that discussion, the Torah uses the words Kodesh, Hilulim LaHashem. That which is Kodesh, Hilulim, which comes from the kind of the idea of to give Halel to Hashem. So the basic understanding, the Gemara gives Melamed Shetu'unim Bracha Lifnehem V'Lachoreihem. The word Halel is I should thank Hashem for the food when? Before I eat the food and after I eat the food. And this seems to be, although it's not, I wouldn't call it explicit, it seems to be an allusion, at least a very strong allusion, to the requirement for a person to make brachot before and even after. This is Rabbi Akiva's opinion, Asur la'adam shi'itom klum kodem shivarch. That's the fourth line there in the Gemara. So the Gemara ends up rejecting this. We're not going to go into the rejection. The Gemara basically goes into a whole discussion about why it is that this pasuk about the fourth year fruit is not in fact a good source for the obligation to make brachot before I eat. And then what the Gemara does, it tries to bring other pasukim. If you skip all the way down to the bottom where I highlighted the words Ella, the Gemara basically rejects every possible pasuk as a source for the requirement for brachos, and then it uses the following phrase, Ella Svarahu, you may have heard this before. Somebody gives you something, you should appreciate, you should thank them, and in this case, you should realize where it comes from, so you make a bracha. Svarahu, it's a svara. What is svara? How would you translate the word svara?
Logic.
What were you going to say?
Opinion.
A logical opinion, an argument. Opinion would be more
subjective.
Right. Opinion would be more savar, like when the Gemara says man savar, like this opinion holds, you're right. Svara is the act of giving an opinion, which is rooted in logic. So svarahu asur lo la'adam she'enem min ha'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's just logical. It's logical that if you're going to benefit from this world, if everything in this world comes from Hashem, and that's what we believe. We have that belief. We walk around with that belief. So if I'm about to eat something, then I should realize that that didn't just poof into the air. I should stop for a second, give some recognition to the fact that there's a creator in this world who gave me all these wonderful things to benefit from. So I'm going to enjoy something from this world. I'm going to make a bracha before. Now, what is that? What is that argument? Is that rabbinic? Is that... How do we view that? Got the question? In other words, the Gemara started out by saying, I'm going to bring you all these psukim that show you that there's this value of making brachos before and after you eat, or at the very least before you eat. And the assumption is, if it's bringing psukim, what's it trying to say if it's bringing psukim?
That's Doraita.
That's Doraita, that the making brachot is from the Torah. The making brachot is something that we, you know. But the Gemara seems to not be conclusive in the sense that, like, it backs off from bringing psukim, and then at the end it just says it's logical. So when I tell you that something's logical, is that stronger than a pasuk, or is that weaker than bringing a pasuk?
It's weaker.
Why do you say it's weaker?
No source besides your.
But it doesn't have a source. It's just like what I think in my head makes sense.
Regardless of whether it's stronger or weaker, I mean, it does seem conclusive in the sense that, you know, we've sort of by process of elimination figured out that it's not Doraisa.
Okay, unless you say. We have a concept called lamali pasuk svarai, which means, like, why do I need a pasuk? It's logical, which is...
It's like it's inherent.
I don't even need the Torah to tell me something because it's so obvious that I have to do this.
Still not Doraisa.
Okay, well, the question is it higher than Doraisa?
Yeah, like, what halacha? That's a good point. Like, what halacha? What, like, actual
halacha?
Why do you
need halacha, then, if it's just so obvious? You should just be doing it.
Like, I mean, not killing is pretty obvious, but, you know, the Torah, we, you know, spills quite a bit of ink on that one.
Okay, so what do you think?
Like, what? Where?
Why are some things written out explicitly and some things aren't?
Like, where is that sort of phrase? Like, what?
Okay, we're gonna see one or two Rishonim that bring this out in a minute. So there doesn't seem to be a clear conclusion from the Gemara, unless you say it's very clear, and that's exactly what it is. So the Ritva takes this approach. If you look in the second page here, The Ritva takes this approach. I actually put it in source number two. The Ritva writes in here in the Gemara, and he writes, he actually has a book called Hilchot Brachot, and he says very clearly, Lo ba b'Torah shebichtav mitzah levarech adam ha'ana kodem shi'ana. There's nowhere in the Torah that it's explicit that a person has to make a bracha before they benefit from this world. Afisha has seichel morel ze lebali amet. What does that word mean? Seichel is your mind, your brain, your intellect. It basically, it's logical, right? You can figure out in your head, Hashem gave this to me, so I should make a bracha. It's not something that the Torah needs to say. And that's actually very extreme. That's like, if you didn't make the bracha, the bread actually turns against you in your stomach. Like cursed bread. Maybe that's where the phrase came from. All right, but but from the rabbinic side, there's a rabbinic requirement that a person should not benefit without making a bracha first. Even if you're only planning to eat a drop, right? We know that. Even if you're not eating a meal, if you're just, like I was debating with someone today, a piece of gum, classic example, or mint or something, you just put something, okay, you could debate some of these things, whether you make a bracha or not, but the idea is you're some kind of benefit you're putting to your mouth, you're going to make a bracha over that. And you don't have to, like, say, oh, I have to measure it with a, you know, it has to fit into a certain, like one of those matzah, you know, things. So that's clear. So that's the Ritva. So the Ritva takes the approach that the Gemara basically rejected the idea that this is based in the Torah and comes out in the conclusion in the end that it's really midrabbanan.
But is seichel the same thing as rabbanan? Like, saying that it's human...
Not necessarily, but in this case, the Gemara uses the language of svara. So that's where I think he's getting it from. Yeah, he's inter-transferring the word seichel with the idea of svara.
Okay, so it's not something inherent.
I think he's separating them. He's saying, like, first of all, it's obvious, you know, from seichel standpoint. But so how come there's still a, like, why don't we leave it like that? Why don't we just say it's enough, you know, that it's seichel? Like, why is there an actual halacha? Because there is a halacha you have to make.
Right.
And so that's derabanan.
Right.
Just in case, I guess, someone who doesn't have that seichel, it still has to do it.
Right. So it comes out, good. So it comes out according to the Ritva, which is, by the way, how we paskin. We paskin the bracha or derabanan. So if you're not sure, if you made a bracha over the wafer, you don't go back and make another bracha. Is there an argument to say that there's a different way to look at this? Just for the sake of lamdas and learning. So the Tosfot here, it's here highlighted back on the first page. Tosfot has three lines, three very short lines, and kind of cryptic. But here's what he writes. El asvaru hu asul adam shi'ana. He says, Ukra de nasiv le'el, the pasuk that was brought at the beginning, i.e. the pasuk of Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem, that was the pasuk that Rabbi Kiva brought about the fourth year fruit. So he says, asmachta be'alma, this is a new term that wasn't used before. Asmachta be'alma, the Hagemara haya savor mitchila de limud gamorhu. In other words, something changed, right? In the beginning of the Gemara, we thought it was a limud gamor. What's a limud gamor? It's like explicit in the Torah that you have to do this. Limud gamor. Clear cut, like, you know, this is what the rule is. And then the Gemara kind of backed away from that and said, you know what, those psukim are, that's what we call asmachta. What's asmachta? So what is asmachta? That's part of the question. Anybody ever want to take a guess? What is asmachta? What does it mean? What does asmachta mean?
It's not like...
It's like an illusion?
Yeah, basically.
A hint?
As opposed to like, you know, something that's like sort of in the, one of the shlishos, you know, meters.
Right. The difference becomes... good. The difference becomes... Tosfot never says it's derabanan. So this is where the debate comes in. He doesn't use the words rabbinic. He just says it's asmachta. The question is asmachta less than a pasuk from the Torah, but more than rabbinic, or is it on the same level as something that's rabbinic? So that's what I want to explore now in some of these pieces here. So the Pnei Yoshua, in source number three, he has a fascinating idea. He says you can learn the Gemara very differently than what we just said. And essentially what he says in here, first he quotes our discussion that we had outside, which is that most of the Rishonim, the first two lines, most people hold that brachot are rabbinic. There's only the Rashba who holds that the bracha achrona is maybe from the Torah, but pretty much across the board, you're not going to find Rishonim who say that bracha birkot hanenin are going to be midoraita. Then he writes like this, ulaniu daiti, and this comes back to how do you understand logic, right? What's the idea of logic? In the third line, ulaniu daiti, my humble opinion. He says like this, lichora yeshli tmoa dahabe kol hashas, everywhere in shas, everywhere throughout the Talmud, throughout the Gemara, mashma demidi de'ate misvara, something that is logical, and this he's obviously learned all Shas. So he's quoting it based on a previous experience. Anywhere where the Gemara uses the word svara, have mi doraita. That's actually a Torah argument. It's Torah logic. It's not intellectual logic or rabbinic logic. We call it that. The Adarabba, he actually thinks it's the opposite of you know just what you think in your head is obvious or something like that. He says Mikasha Hashas Ha Lamali Krasvaru. The Gemara will use this language very often. It doesn't use it exactly in ours. We'll say, why do I even need a pasuk because it's so clear, which means like it's more than a pasuk. The pasuk is there to tell us something we wouldn't have known otherwise. So it comes back to your question of why do you need certain things which are obvious also, like don't murder. I don't know, maybe some societies it's not obvious. Ube emes, milashon atosos, enechrea, comes up in issues, it's not clear from what tosos. I mean, we read Tosos. He doesn't say the word Durabana. That's what he's bothered by. He says it's not clear what Tosos' conclusion is. Maybe Tosos actually held that this idea of Svara can actually be on a Doraita level. So we're left with a potential Machloka Rishona. A potential Machloka Rishona between Tosot and the Ritva, really everybody else.
Is a Svara higher up than a
Doraita, a pasuk, as he seems to be saying. Then you have to ask the question, then why do I need the psukim?
Right.
If it's so logical, why do they have a whole page where they're trying to figure out, like, you know, what's the pasuk? So the answer could be just like, you know, the goal there
for
is...
For other mitzvot, I'm saying that do have a pasuk. They're at a lower...
Okay. So let's see. So that's 4 and 5 is basically a debate between... That's a very pretty well-known discussion about what is a smachta. That maybe you have, you know... Not two categories of a brachot are, maybe there's a third category called a smachta, somewhere in between. So you have doraita, derabanan, and then somewhere in between called a smachta. And what is that? So the Rambam in source 4 in his Hakdama to Perish and Mishnayot, I'm not going to read the whole thing inside, but what he basically says is that a smachta is not significant sourcing. It's not a significant authoritative idea. It's there as a hint, as an allusion. The language he uses is... in the third line, "Ve'ein lam shum yisod shilamdenu shilamdu mimenu ba'achad amidot." It's not from the 13 midot. "Ve'ein lam remez b'kol Torah ela hismichum lepasuk zeh." He's talking about measures that we have in halacha. You have to, you know, eat a certain amount of matzah, and in order to carry on Shabbat, you have to carry a certain amount, like the halacha has. So he says, "B'kol Torah ela hismichum." All this is based on a pasuk. "Ke'ein siman k'dei shiyishmum v'yiskerum." It's like a mnemonic device. You know, you see the words in the Torah, Eretz Chitah Se'arah, that's the example he gives, and right away you're supposed to think, oh, Chitah is a reference to X measurement, and Se'arah is a reference to Y measurement. V'ein zeh mi'inyan ha'pasuk, that's not actually what the pasuk is saying, it's just an illusion. V'zeh inyan ha'amar kras smachta be'alma. So comes to Rambam, he says, like, it's really just there to help us remember. It's not anything significant. So the Rambam wouldn't be... You know, it's not a halacha. Smachta is not teaching us a halacha. It's just there as a tool, a memory tool, a memory device. Yeah? The Ritva, and this is a quoted Ritva by a lot, and he basically speaks out the following idea. This comes back to a little bit of your question from the beginning. So he's talking, the context is in Masecha Rosh Hashanah. We know in Rosh Hashanah we have special things we add to the tefillah. Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofros, right? Now, where does it come from that we're supposed to add that to our tefillah? So the psukim we know are from Tanakh, but where do we know that we're supposed to add these things to our tefillah? So the Gemara has already discusses it. So he brings out like this. So look in source 5. Had the Kamar Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Imru Lefane Malchus Zichron HaShofros. That's what this, the Gemara is the source for what we add in our tefillah. We should say before me these three additions. Mishum Dafal Gav the psukim Malchus Zichron HaShofros Eina Min HaTorah. They're not from the Torah. Nowhere in the Torah does it say you must add these to your Rosh Hashanah tefillah. Elami de rabbanan kedeparishna. There's rabbinic that we add this to the tefillah. Mikol makom imasha amar Torah zichron trua. What does it say in the Torah? The Torah does say the words zichron trua. What do those words mean? Literally, best translation you come up with. Zichron trua. Zichron means
remembrance
of the trua. Okay, so how do I remember the trua? By talking about it, right? By talking about it, by praying about it. And that's exactly what the Gemara says. Yeshul mochra ula haskir psukei terab, psukei zikaron. So I'm going to say psukim that talk about memory, which is what we do, zichronos, and we talk about psukim that mention trua about the shofar. Umalchios nafkalan kamosha darshu chazal misifri mipasuk vayalacham zichron, so and so forth. Okay, now comes the Gemara and says, and Malchios is learned out from another drasha. Now here's the kicker. He says kol mash yeshal asmachta min pasuk. So he comes to Ritva and says, the Ritva, and he says, you know what an asmachta is? Asmachta is what he calls Ratzon Hashem. Smachta means that when I read those psukim in the Torah, it's conveying to me, through the lens of Chazal, it's conveying to me what Hashem wanted me to do. Now, that's much more significant than just an illusion, a memory tool, a memory device, like the Rambam was saying, and he actually alludes to the Rambam's words here without quoting the Rambam, which a lot of Rishonim do. You'll see what he says in a second. He says, I'm going to read the words inside. It's the part that's underlined. He says, Heyir HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shirai Lasot Kein. Hashem has put his will, kivyachol, into the words of the Torah, that he's telling us, this is what I want you to do. El Shalo Kavu Chova Masul Chachamim. Okay, it wasn't established as an obligation because there's no language of command in the Torah that's around this, but it is conveying this idea, and that's how Chazal, you know, are helping us by telling us this is what Hashem wanted us to do. How do I know from the word Zichron Trua? Did all of us, maybe, okay, I'll speak personally, I didn't realize that when I read the word Zichron Trua when I was learning Chumash. I read the word Zichron Trua. You think I understood through the word Zichron Trua that I'm supposed to do this? No. Chazal, through their wisdom, understood that this is what Hashem wants me to do.
Is that Derech or Derabanan?
That's an Asmachta. Well,
but if the Rabbanan, I mean, like, that's like...
It's not Rabbanan.
Right, so it's like Hilchot
Shabbat. It's not Derech, it's Asmachta. It's somewhere in the middle.
Hilchot Shabbat and Asmachta? Because that's also something that's super unclear, but then the rabbis are the ones that explain it, and they
I don't think try so. To... I think the Isurim of Shabbat, I think the Isurim of Shabbos are clear. You know, are clear, yeah. I mean, what they are and how they're defined and all
that's
that. That's what this is also, isn't it? Yeah. He says, this is very clear. And look what he writes. This is just like you talk about shtochim. Okay? He says, not like the commentaries who say, ha'asmachtot shu derech siman, it's just like a sign. Very good meeting you. We'll be in touch. Shenatnu chachamim v'losh kavanat Torah lakach. You know, it's like, that's not what the Torah was trying to tell us. It's just there. Like, when you read it, it's supposed to, like, be a cute hint or remez or something. Chas v'shalom, he writes, yishtaka hadavar v'lo yomar shazad da'at minutu. That's like heresy, words of heresy. I was like, okay, listen. The Ritva lived 13th century. The Rambam was basically, it was like 100 years later after the Rambam. The Ritva was a main student of the Ramban. It's a main student of the Ramban. The Ramban, it's actually interesting, the Ramban, who very often argued on the Rambam, especially in his Torah commentary, I think 18 times. I only know that because the Ritva wrote a Sefer called Sefer Zikaron, and in it he actually defends the Rambam. Every time the Ramban argues with him, one classic example, the Ramban has a tirade against every time the Rambam says a story in Tanakh didn't happen in reality, it happened in a vision, like Avram and the angels, like Yaakov and the Malach, Kriyas Yamsuf, according to some. It's like whenever I taught that, it's like, if you're hearing it for the first time here, okay, hopefully you've heard that, the Rambam said that before, but whenever I teach that in high schools, it's very shocking. So the Ramban says, how could you say these things didn't happen? Like, he says, for example, he says, you know, says that Yaakov was limping. Like, how could you say, like, Yaakov was physically injured by his battle. That just happened in a nevuah, in a dream. So the Ritva actually says, it's just interesting, it's like, you know, schools of thought of how you study Parshanut. So the Ritva writes in his introduction, he says, it's not a machloka. He says the Rambam was a philosopher. He was a rationalist. And the Ramban was a Kabbalist. And he was not a rationalist. And they viewed the Torah through two totally different lenses. Therefore, it's not a machloka. It's just elu ve'elu divrei elokim chayim. And then he writes, and then he goes through, and then the rest of the Sefer, he carries on to show how, you know, the Rambam could be the Rambam, the Ramban could be the Ramban. And this is 1,000 years ago, just under 1,000 years ago. The Ritva wrote this, and he says, so what does it mean that Yaakov was limping? How could the Rambam explain himself? So he talks about psychosomatic sensations.
That's cool.
Not using that terminology, right. Obviously. But he says you can, you know, the falling feeling in your dream, right? That like you physiologically are impacted by something you experience in your head. He talks about that idea. Interesting stuff. Anyway, so he doesn't like the Rambam, and the Ritva basically comes out, and he's just the beautiful the way he presents it. Look at the last five lines. It about Torah, he'ir bekach, master chiyuv hadavar lekavu lechachamim, gave the chachamim the ability, the power, the strength. Im yirtzu kamo shenemar vasita al pi hadavar shigidu lecha. And we listen to the chachamim. The chachamim are kind of conveying to us, this is what Hashem wanted us to do. How do I know that? Because it says zichron tura. How do I know that zichron tura means this? Okay, so now. Bringing it back to this discussion, so let's go back to brachos for a second. So the Torah says, Kodesh Hilulim LaHashem. So what's an asmachta? An asmachta will tell me, doesn't literally mean I'm supposed to make a bracha. It's an asmachta, but it's not just a cute allusion, says the Ritva. Hashem is conveying, Ratzon Hashem is that you should make bracha through those words. How do I know that? Through Chazal. So it's like the sandwich.
Yeah.
It's the filling inside the sandwich. The top part is the right, the bottom part is the rabban. And then you have this third category called asmachta. So we have kind of like three ideas of what asmachta should be. Now you could ask a question like, you know, what do I do in a? This is a discussion. What should I do in a smachta? Safik and an asmachta. Oh, that's a whole discussion in halacha.
Onesh also doesn't it?
And if it's not doraita, then you know, okay, we could talk about makot.
I guess
right? Okay. Okay, so now let's do part B, which is the question of, okay, so now we have a little bit of debate. Is our brachot anan in doraita derabanan? And the nafkamina that we have and we know about is safik brachot lahakal or lachomra. So this is going to be dependent on another gemara, masechet brachot, which you may have studied before. It's in here in source number 6. It's a case where you made the wrong choice. Okay? And here's how the Gemara presents it. First, the Gemara presents the case, which is, it's obvious what the conclusion should be, and then it raises a question, which it doesn't really give a conclusion to. So here's how the Gemara goes. Pshita, hecha dekan nakid kasa dechamer. So you're holding a cup of wine in your hand. Yeah? And you think, kasavar de shichra, and you think that it's beer. How this could happen, I'm not sure. But I guess beer and wine used to look a lot more.
It's
a dark, dark beer, I guess. You know, you have a dark, dark beer, which is maybe what beer used to look like a lot more. Anyway, so you started the brachas. So you have a shahakol and a hagafen. These are two totally different brachas altogether. So you started patach umavarech adaita deshichra. So you started with baruch ata Hashem elkeinu melech olam, thinking that it was beer. And then you finish siyim b'dechamra yatza. There you're yotze. You ended up saying bori piragafen, which is what you were holding, right? You're yotze, even though you started with thinking in shahakol. Di'i nami mamar shahakol nimivaro yatza. Because if you would have finished shahakol nimivaro, you also would have been yotze. Because we have a basic klal, dehatnan, second line, al kulam mamar shahakol nimivaro yatza. That's the general klal in brachos. You make shahakol, you're yotze. It might be diavad, but you're still yotze the bracha. And that would be a classic, because you wouldn't go back and make a new bracha, because shahakol is an all. A catch-all bracha. By the way, the Gemara at the beginning of the sixth parak, it's just the few next lines after that, says it's true that you could do this, but you shouldn't just rely on this. You should go. That's why Hilchos Brachos, the Gemara used the lashon of Yelech Eitzel Chacham Me'ikara Vilamdenu Bracho. You should go to a Chacham at the beginning, and he'll teach you Hilchos Brachos. That's why the Gemara used it at the beginning. So some of the Farshim say, it should be one of the first areas of halacha that you should learn. If there's any area of halacha you should learn, it should be the area of brachos, because you shouldn't just fall back on, oh, I can just make shahakol. And you should become more, you know, expert in Hilchos Brachos. So now, what's the scenario that the Gemara was bothered by? Ella, on the third line, Hecha de kanaki kasa de shichra, biyade, kasavar de chamrahu. So you're holding beer, and you thought it was wine, and now what happened? Patach, ubari chadaita de chamra. You started the bracha thinking that it was wine, v'siyim b'deshichra, and you finished with shahakol, right? Which, that's what it was, but that's not how you started. My, what's the halacha? Batar ikar bracha azlinan. Do we go after what the main bracha is, which is the shahakol, it was on beer, or Batar Chatima Azlina. I'm sorry. The Ikar Bracha, which is what you thought you were going to say, which is wine, and then you finish with the shakel. So that's the question. Do you go after what you ended with, or basically what you started with? Two ways to look at it. So why is this Gemara important? Because the Rishonim seem to bring out possibly how we view brachot from this Gemara. So Rashi, Tosfot says this also, and basically the understanding is like this. Look in source 7. He says kamabayel, and the question is patach adaita decharma. It's a question about kavana. You had in your mind that it's wine. Kedei l'sayim bar pirgaf. Nukshigil l'melech ha'olam. When you got to melech ha'olam, nizkar shu sheikh avisirim shahakol. Okay. By the way, other Rishonim say it wasn't that it was about kavana, it was that you actually said the whole bracha out, and then you did toch kedei dibur, you fixed it. So two different ways to read the Gemara, but point is, do we go after the end, or do we go after the beginning? So, and l'mais, so the question is going to be, do you have to go back? So the Ri, and this is Tosfot in source number 8, quotes the Ri. So first thing he writes is how we paskin. Perish of Alphas Hasha Delo Ifshita Bayan. The Gemara doesn't come up with a conclusion. This is one of the cases where the Gemara doesn't have a halachic conclusion. And the Rif says in the back of the Gemara in this sukkah, he says the Gemara never came up with a conclusion. Lo Ifshita Bayan Azlina Lakula. We go Lakula and we don't go back. You were yotze in this case. You ended up saying shakol at the end. You thought you were saying agaf in the beginning. You were yotze the bracha. Although the Gemara is not conclusive. V'ri, and then he quotes the Ri, and that's, by the way, how we pass on Shulchan Aruch. And then the Ri, Haya Omer Lachomra, Titzarech Levarech Pamacheres. Wow. That's interesting. You got to go back. But I thought brachos were only Durabanan. What's the Ri coming to tell us? Maybe. What's the Ri coming to tell us? So the first approach is, I think simply reading Tosos, is that the Ri is saying that brachos are not Durabanan. They're a higher level of Durabanan, or maybe Duraisa. And if they're Duraisa, that makes a lot of sense. He says, you go to Chumrah. So the Ri would be this reading of Tosos, this first approach. We're going to look at two more approaches. So the first approach to Tosos is that the Ri is telling me the brachos are Duraisa, and that's the reason you have to go back and repeat.
Wouldn't the simpler interpretation just be that, like, not that it's Duraisa, but just that, like, you know, whatever you were trying to accomplish by saying a bracha, you didn't accomplish that.
So. Okay, good. So the Magen is very good. So the second approach is the Magen Avraham, which I think is more or less what you were trying to say. And he basically says, no, brachos are the Rabbanan, and the Ri is only talking about this specific case, which is, I think, what you were alluding to. This specific case, you make a new bracha. And why in this specific case do you make a new bracha? It's fascinating. So what does he talk about? He talks about the idea of mitzos ein tzrichos kavana. What is it? Mitzvah tzrichos kavana, mitzvah ein tzrichos. We have a big, big sugya, altar ochas. Do we require to have kavana when we do a mitzvah? So if I'm blowing shofar and I'm just playing notes and I'm not thinking about, and I happen to blow tekiah shvar and tekiah shtrua, whatever, and I get through the nine basic kolos, or I didn't do more, did I fulfill the mitzvah or not? Right? Classic case. So this is the Gemara. So the Gemara seems to come out. Right, mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana. That seems to be the psak at the end of the day. Generally, we paskin mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana. So, if mitzvah sein tzrichos kavana, so why should it matter over here that you had the wrong kavana? That's the problem. It's one thing to not have kavana. It's another thing to have opposite kavana or negative kavana, and that's what the Magen Avraham writes here. If you look in source 9, he says, "Umikomakom kasha lama pasko tosos lachomer." Ha'kaima lansavik brachos ha'hakel. So what's he doing? And he quotes saying Hikshim, I'm not sure which postik that is. Shalomar the savarle mitzvah tzrichos kavana. Maybe what the Ri was saying is he holds mitzvah tzrichos kavana. What does it mean? He doesn't hold mitzvah tzrichos kavana. That would be against pretty much everybody. What he means is v'hacha niskavin lemin acher. I call negative kavana, which is what the guy does in shul when he makes kiddush on Friday night or havdalah on Motzei Shabbos in the shul, and then he goes home and makes havdalah for his family. Why is he allowed to do that? Because when he was making the Havdalah, he wasn't having Kavana for himself. He was having Kavana to make other people be Yotze, but that he should not be, thinking in his head he should not be Yotze, in order for him to be able to still be on a standard level to be able to be Motzi other people. So
with the Magen Avraham, does he think that's specifically for like Shehakol versus Priya Gafin, or even within Shehakol itself you have different Kavana for for different types of food that you should redo it? No, right?
I think it's just specifically this case, yeah. And then he comes out, if you didn't start the bracha the right way, then you're basically thinking, right? And you're negating what the food is in front of you. So if you're negating what the food is in front of you, then that's negative kavanah, and that would cancel out whatever bracha you're making. And in this case, he understands that you would go back. But not because it's doraisa, but because of negative kavanah. So first approach is that the ri is telling us brachos are on a level of doraisa, and that's why you have to go back. Second approach, Magen Avraham, is that brachos with the Rabbanan, and the reason you have to go back in this specific case is because of negative kavanah. There's one third approach, and we'll conclude with this, which is a fascinating approach of Rabbi Kiva Eger. And what he says is like this. There's a fundamental difference, I'll just say it outside, we'll look inside, between Birchos Ananin and Birchos Mitzvah. Birchos Ananin, you make a bracha on food, and you eat the food. Birchos Mitzvah, make a bracha of lulav, shofar, tefillin, whatever the bracha is, Birchos Mitzvah. So let's say I take a lulav, I pick it up, and this is actually very lemaisa, and I was holding the esrog, the up, right? And I didn't make a bracha. And I'm like, oh shoot. Did you fulfill the mitzvah? You bet you. You fulfilled the mitzvah, right? You're mekayim the mitzvah. Hey, be very careful, whatever. Down, make the bracha, and turn it around. Make sure you turn it around, you know. That's why I think the other people have different formulations of doing it, so you don't get into that issue. But the same thing would be true by any mitzvah, right? If I sat in a sukkah and I didn't make a leisha b'sukkah, did I fulfill the mitzvah of yeshiva b'sukkah? Yeah. If I, blew a shofar and didn't say lishma kol shofar, I fulfill the mitzvah, right? So why should Birchos Ananim be different?
It is a mitzvah, like it's not.
I'm saying, why should it be different?
Because
like I ate the food the and I.
Right.
What do you mean the bracha is the mitzvah?
I mean, like, you know, in the other cases, there's the mitzvah itself, and then there's the bracha, which is...
What do you mean, though, that the bracha is the mitzvah? You're saying the right things. There's something else built in. What else is built in to this mitzvah?
The act.
Something else? The Gemara said, Asur lo la'adam she'en emin olam hazeh below bracha. There's an isser built into the mitzvah. Oh. Right? That's the language of the Gemara. In other words, anyway, let's look at Rabbi Kiva Eger inside. See what he says. It's very nice. He says, "Lo yishayach ha'achalomar safek brachos lekula." We're not going to say over here. Again, it's on Tosos. We're not going to say over here this idea of safek brachos. We go lenient. The kvar kasev rash v'psachim kovbeis. Okay, the loshna kain el b'birkas a mitzvah. He says this whole thing about going lahakel is only by birkas a mitzvah. That was what we just said before. The brachot einan me'akvot. The bracha is not me'akev the mitzvah. The bracha is not, the mitzvah is not dependent on saying a bracha or not. Aval b'birkas ananin, asur la'achol below bracha. It's a very interesting concept. When it comes to birkas ananin, you're not allowed to eat without a bracha. V'lo havei kan chashash bracha l'avatala, di'im lo yivarech, he'e asur lo lishtos. So he comes out like this. Person messed up in brachos. You have beer in front of you, and you made this whole mistake. So what do you do? So initially, someone's going to say, okay, brachos are durabanan, right? So you go lakula, and you can drink. But then, we take a step back, and we say, but there's something else built into brachos, which makes brachos unique, birchos ananin unique, because, yeah, it's true that, the bracha itself isn't making or breaking the action in general. But when it comes to the food, the bracha is so intertwined with the eating itself, like you were saying, that when I don't make the bracha, I have now benefited from the world without thanking Hashem for it. They're so integrated one with the other that you end up losing out on a bracha, but actually being over an isser by not making the bracha. So he comes out and he says, this seems to be the difference between what the Ri is really saying. The reason you can't drink the beer is not because the bracha is doraisa, right? Safik birchos ananin or lachumra, it's a fascinating idea. You have a dirabanan, and in a case of safik, we go lachumra. Not because it's daraita, but because of the isser that's involved in the lack of saying the bracha itself. Now that is like a concept to really think about. Like usually we say derabanan,
It's like Havdalah and eating, isn't it also? Kind of like it's like you can't do it until... Like you could, I mean, we don't think about Havdalah as being so integral, but you actually need it to permit you to do
it's
all
an interesting things. Parallel. It's an interesting parallel. What were you going
to
say?
It seems to me like you could be saying something like maybe a little bit more simple, like just, you know, so if you don't make the right bracha, so specifically the right bracha, you're not allowed to eat. Therefore, there's no chashash of bracha levatala. You did make a bracha levatala originally, but that's, you know, done. And that hasn't accomplished anything. That hasn't, you know, mm-hmm. made it, that hasn't removed the history of eating the food until you make the right
bracha. Until you make the right bracha.
Is it really?
Yeah, good.
But
good
the
formulation.
Intention is still, I don't know, it's a question of also like what it's supposed to do. Like still the intention was to bless the food. You've done that, even if you messed up the formulation.
Right. So kind of like,
have you though?
Right. So here I'll leave off with the question to think about. And that's when with this we'll pause for the day. And it goes as follows. You go ahead and you eat, right? You didn't make your bracha. So what have you done by eating and not making a bracha? You've been over an isser. So there's two aspects of birchas hanen. Right? There's a bracha side and there's the isser side. So how do we understand the relationship between the mitzvah of saying a bracha and the isser? In other words, is the bracha more of a prohibition or is it more of a mitzvah? How do we look at the brachas that we make over food?
Good old tzvei dina, tzvei.
Okay, I'm saying it is. It's a chakira. That's basically what we're trying to say. But what's the driving force of brachos? Is the driving force the fact that I'm supposed to do this, or is the driving force that
I think it's really just like a classic,
like the negative side.
Tzvei dinin. Like there's two, you know, components. One, you know, one component, and like they're, you know, it's one mitzvah, so they're very integrally related. Like,
right. So my question
is,
my question is, which one drives the equation?
Like they're really just two sides of the same coin. Like you have to make a bracha, and you have to so much that you're not even allowed to eat until you do that.
Right.
So, like I don't even think
from a rabbanim perspective, though, I think it's less compelling.